50 years in broadcasting.
Roger Day.
This is BBC Radio Kent.
Good afternoon. Hi, hello, how are ya? This is the Thinner Record Spinner, Roger Twiggy Day. Celebrating 50 years on the radio. Well, it's actually tomorrow, so 49 and 364 days. How you doing? Enjoying the bank holiday Monday? I hope so. Anyway, very nice of you to join me. Got some guests and old friends dropping in to say hello. But the most important one is you, of course. Without you, there ain't nothing. So forget them. Who are they, anyway? So who'd have thought it? Miner's son from Margate, trainee accountant, would manage 50 years broadcasting on the radio, playing wonderful music, getting paid for it as well. Outrageous! How did that happen? We're about to find out in the next 3 hours. Yes, I've been evading the talent police for 50 years. Okay, better start where it started on the radio. And the very first record I played on the laissez-faire, the Olga Patricia, anchored 3.5 miles off the Frinton and Essex coast back in 1966. May the 3rd it was. We were sort of getting ready on this day 50 years ago. Engineers running around getting the transmitters ready and that sort of thing. I hit the radio on the evening of May the 3rd and played this here song. Bad, is it? Bill Christian, the Crusaders. I did a tour with him. He was on the Swingin' 66 tour I did with the Small Faces back in 1966, doing various theatres and cinemas throughout the country. And in the Crusaders was one fella called Richie Blackmore, who went on to fame and fortune. The only hit that Neil Christian had. Very fine live artist, very popular in Germany. Sadly, no longer with us, as many of the artists. It's the truth that I play. I do play, occasionally play live ones, of course. But before I started on the radio, I used to play the records at the Dreamland Ballroom in Margate, a fabulous venue where all the people used to appear, playing songs like this. If nobody was dancing, that got them on the floor. Don Covey and the Good Times. Never a hit, believe it or not. Probably sold more copies than some hits did. And that's called Your Love Is Like a Seesaw. Roger Day, 50 years on the radio. Who'd have thought it? Yes, the talent police have sort of trying to get me for years, but they ain't managed it yet. I don't think I have to go to a proper job now. One of the perks of doing this job is because I originally wanted to be in a group, play guitar and sing. I can't play guitar, can't even play the drums, I can't sing. So I thought I'd better do it playing other people's talent. And that's what I've had the pleasure of doing over the years. But also the bonus of that is, because I'm a music fan, that's why I got involved in radio in the first place. It wasn't to push my ego. I've always thought the music is more important than the broadcasters. Hey, that's a rarity nowadays, isn't it? Some of them think they're more important than the music. That's never going to be the case. You're only as good as the music you play, I believe. But so I get to meet sort of people that are heroes to me. And one of them I first saw with Cliff Bennett and the Rebel Rousers at some seafront ballroom in Ramsgate. But then he sort of got a transfer with no fee to the Searchers. And it's a very good afternoon to Frank Allen. Hello, Frank.
Roger, good afternoon and congratulations on a mere 50 years.
I know. You've been doing it slightly longer.
I was surprised that you started off mentioning Cliff Bennett, and that's absolutely great because that was such an important part of my life. And I actually, that was the beginning of my professional career, mid-1961, so that makes it 55 years for me in total now. 52 with the Searchers and 3 with Cliff Bennett and the Rebels.
The Switchers, which I did play on Swingin' Radio England, and Take It or Leave It. Most people left it. It is BBC Radio Kent, and my thanks to them for giving me this honour of presenting a 3-hour programme on the prequel of my 50th year, which is because we're just getting ready. It happened with a fellow called Johnny Walker, Mr. Dingley, the following day. But my love of radio started with Uncle Mac, as many did. Back in, I'd been 7, so 1952, my parents wrote up for a request and it was the Woody Woodpecker song, you know. It's the Woody Woodpecker song. And I thought, this man's mentioned my radio, me on the radio. So I thought, well, that's fascinating. So I then used to tune into Radio Luxembourg, you know, Lost in Space, wasn't it, with David Jacobs, all the great things they used to have on the radio. And I was fascinated with radio, how these people, you know, could talk, and particularly one that mentioned my name, Uncle Matt, which is a legendary for anyone of a certain age. Anyway, so fast forward a few years, and I left grammar school, Chatham House Grammar School in Ramsgate, managed to get 5-0 levels. How on earth did I happen? And, you know, always wanted to be a disc jockey, but that was impossible for an oik like me. And probably people think it so should have been. But so I left school, became a filing clerk and a training accountant, first at the South Eastern Electricity Board, then the Water Board in London. Only missed out on the Gas Board as a trio, really. And then went to Kennedy Airlines from Manston Airport. Good luck to the people at Manston, by the way. It's an airport. Say no more. It is an airport. So it should be. And I worked there for a few weeks. Then I got the call to Pfizer's. Everyone wanted to work at Pfizer's because they paid the best money and had the best perks and that sort of thing. As a training accountant down there. So a couple of years there. And then a friend of mine, a lady called Anne Leverington, who rode up to Southern Television for a TV program called Pop the Question. Much Muriel Young, Pussycat Willem, Muriel Young, that sort of thing. And it was two panels against each other of people who were, you know, they had a celebrity heading the panel and a couple of ordinary punters like me. Well, I got on the fellow called Chris Andrews, who wrote the Sandy Shaw records, and also his Yesterday Man as well. And I was on his team, and we won because I was known as Jukebox Joe at school, which was a Jack Jackson character. And all my mates used to call me Jukebox Joe because I just was obsessed with pop music and knew everything it was. I read NME, Record Mirror and that sort of thing, so I knew everything. So, of course, we breezed it and won. I won a couple of albums. And a fellow who I knew at Pfizer's had just taken over as being the assistant manager at Dreamland Ballroom in Margate. And he saw the TV programme. Phoned up and said, I remember you said you wanted to be a disc jockey. He said, well, that disc jockey that spins the records on a Wednesday evening is leaving. Are you interested in doing it? I thought you're quite good on the TV, actually. So, well, of course, I said yes. And the next Wednesday, I was down there spinning the discs. This is 1965, about the autumn thereof, October, actually. And started doing the records down there as well. And and I also used to do the Starlight Ballroom at Herne Bay, where I appeared with people like the Moody Blues and the Mindbenders and Unit 4 Plus 2 and that sort of thing. And eventually got to play the records on the Rendezvous Club at Dreamland on a Sunday as well. Fabulous venue. Everyone used to appear there as well. Searchers were down there. Dean Ford and the Gaylords, who became the Marmalade. So, there you are. That's sort of the preview to getting on the radio.
50 years of the Thinner Record Spinner. Roger Day on BBC Radio Kent.
I met Roger Twiggy Day years ago, before even I came to BBC Radio Kent. I have to say he's been fired from more places than I've ever experienced in my entire life. But there's something, I don't know, very tactile about Roger. When it comes to knowing him, you feel like you're really his mate. It's difficult, obviously, in the corridors when he doesn't even ever say anything to you, but I do love the fella, big time. And he taught me everything he knows.
Hey, Roger, congratulations on 50 years. Well, 50 years of broadcasting, it's a long time since you were 50 years old. I'd just like to say...
Thanks.
What an absolute pleasure it's been working with you. We've got into so much scrapes, we've had so many laughs over the years. And the fact that you're still interested in people making music now, there's something of a real credit to you as a broadcaster. Here's to another 50, yeah. Well done.
Roger Day, happy birthday, happy 50th, and you're the man that brought me to Kent back in 1984. You rang me up out of the blue when I was working on a station in Coventry, and you said, we're starting a station in Kent, will you come and work for us? I said, well, depends what you're paying. No, seriously, Rog, I came down, I haven't looked back since, it's been great since 84. I've got you to thank for being here. Many happy returns on your anniversary of being on the radio for so many years, and enjoy today.
They're lovely, aren't they? I paid them to say all that, actually, but there you go. Anyway, as I said earlier on, I'm a fan that loves music. And imagine the great, because everyone knows I love the Beach Boys. And the record company knew that. So when this wonderful record came out, the record company sent a special boat out to the ship I was on, Swingin' Radio England, and they let me have the first play in Britain, which cheesed off the other stations, of this record.
I love the colourful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
When I played it, I hadn't actually heard it when I played it. I just put it on, and as far as I'm concerned, I've never changed my opinion. I thought, that is the best record I've ever heard. People always say, what's your favourite record? I say, Good Vibrations, Beach Boys. In fact, what I did is I played it a second time, and I played it a third time. Disco Music Echo even did a little thing saying, Roger Day obviously likes a new record from the Beach Boys. He's played it three times. That was unheard of in those days, because you weren't allowed to do that. They used to, you know, really strictly tell you what you used to play and that sort of thing. No change there, apart from me bending the rules as usual. And David Hughes, my good friend from Disco Music Echo, gave that little thing about that. So Good Vibration. I've still got the copy. It's a demo copy, and it's got exclusive on it to Radio England. And it's on the Pride of Place, and I've got a studio at home on my wall there. It's probably worth a fortune now. If ever get in financial trouble, hey, I'm always in financial trouble. I'm a disc jockey, of course. We're not all Noel Edmonds. I suppose I could flog it off and pay off the mortgage, but no, it's too special for that. Okay, it's BBC Radio Kent, and who do we have now? We've got Ted McKenna of the sensational Alec Harvey Band. So how you doing, Ted?
I'm doing fine, and congratulations on your 50 years.
I know, it's incredible. I don't know how it's happened, but...
I'm also a 50-year one. I've been playing drums for 50 years.
Have you? Drummers are always mad, aren't they? I mean, are you a sensible one or not?
Yes, I know. I'm a sensible drummer.
A bit like Bev Bevan. I mean, he's totally out of the mould as well. I always say to him, you can't be a drummer, you're too sensible.
Gene Krupa caused all of that, because everybody that saw Gene Krupa thought that he was mad, you know,
yeah.
And perhaps he was. But anyway, yeah.
Well, the sensational Alex Harvey Band continues, but of course Alex isn't with them because he's no longer with us. But what was he like? Because he did the original version of Shout, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. He got it from the American. I can't remember who did it originally. It was an American.
Isley Brothers.
The box set that's out at the moment.
The sensational Alex Harvey Band. Alex is along with us. We did the original version of Shout. Must get hold of that box set to see what his version of that is like. Superb stuff. And that's Delilah. The other hit was The Boston Tea Party. Well, Shout out. But the box set of all the stuff. So if you're a bit of a fan, then that's got to be the thing. Radio England, first station, wasn't that successful. It came too late in the game. Caroline and London had sort of taken it. But one thing that I remembered, during my days on Radio England, the autumn of that year, there's a top three, which I always thought was the best top three that's never been beaten since. It had Good Vibrations in there from the Beach Boys, which I've already played. And number two, it's Reach Out, I'll Be There from the Four Tops. And third, it was Gimme Some Lovin' from the Spencer Davis Group. And to this day, I maintain there has never been a better top three. And 66 was such a good year for music. Perhaps it was, you know, like first girlfriends, first cars, always special, my first radio station. And there was River Deep Mountain High out during the summer as well. So it was a glorious year for music. And now for a man who's had a pretty glorious career, actually, although his career hadn't got started back in 1966. Big time, anyway. He was just like me, a wannabe. But boy, he's made up for it since. Jim Cregan, hello. How you doing?
Hello. Yes, hi, Roger. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Thanks for joining me on my 50th radio anniversary.
Well, congratulations, man. That's really amazing to keep doing anything for 50 years.
Well, like you, of course.
yeah, there is that.
I mean, I know you do your own gigs nowadays as well, but quite a golden career. There was family. Oh, but on the subject of family. Longs have more fun. So do grey-haired people. Rod Stewart, thanks to Jim Craig for popping in. We've got Johnny Walker coming up later on, and Ron O'Quinn, the man that gave me my first radio job. So I'll ask him why he was so stupid. It's hour two of my 50th radio anniversary programme for BBC Radio Kent, and the face is small. They're only number one of five or six hits for them, and that was all or nothing. I was actually on tour with them back in 1966, because the Radio England station I was working for at the time did a thing called the Swingin' 66 Tour, and on there was Crispian St. Peters, and there was Wayne Fontana occasionally, Dave Berry, Genevieve was a singer as well, Neil Christian and the Crusaders, who played earlier on as well. And we toured. It wasn't very successful because it wasn't publicised very much, because we did gigs up north where Radio England couldn't be heard. And it wasn't publicised till they used to... I saw a sign once, it said, "No bingo tonight, the small faces." So it didn't go down too well. So toured with the small faces. And, yeah, great bunch of lads, actually. How did they get the job on Radio England? Well, it's thanks to Dave Cash, who does programmes, of course, for the BBC nowadays. You probably listen to him on Saturday and Sunday. He played me a request on my 21st birthday, and I was happened to be in London at the Marquee Club, where Dave was doing a personal appearance for the Big L night out, or whatever it was, at the Marquee Club, and he was in the bar. Now, this is a surprise, and I asked him if there's a chance of a job on Radio London. And he said, well, you stand a better chance if you go and see these guys who've just flown in from America, setting up a new radio station. That was the Radio England people as well, Bill Vick and Ron O'Quinn, hopefully we're going to be talking to very soon indeed. So that's how the Radio England started. Didn't last very long. Went off the air in the November of that year, because it came too late on the scene, actually. And there was rumours of the government passing the anti-pirate bill as well. So they sort of went off and became a Dutch radio station. But it's a great adventure, and it sort of got my foot in the door. But then when that finished, I went to work for Billy Walker, the boxer, his new club called the Uppercut Club. Also, I used to do places like the Corn Exchange in Maidstone and the Tudor House at Veersted. You know, I was all over the blooming place doing the old mobile discos. It was a good living to be learned about in those days. Anyway, I was comparing stuff at the Uppercut Club in Forest Gate. It was a former roller skating rink, so you can imagine the size of the place, and they got everybody down there. The Stack Show came. Very honoured to have been there as the disc jockey when Otis Redding and Sam and Dave and Carla Thomas... I think Booker T and the MGs as well, Eddie Floyd, they were all on it. And also, one Boxing Day afternoon, they booked some fella who had just come over from America. They said, never heard of him. Well, I'd never heard of him either. But boy, you knew something special was about to start when this man hit the stage. Jimi Hendrix. So I was one of the first people to introduce him on stage. There were about 200 people in this huge venue, Boxy Afternoon, all the people. It was meant to be a kids' party, so they had all these young you know, girls in their party frocks and boys and that sort of thing, you know, sort of bit of a break from Christmas. And this wild man hit the stage. He hadn't set his guitar on fire at that stage, but he was pretty wild. And these mothers were shielding their kids' eyes from this wild man on stage. The promoter sort of something special, rebooked him for a month's time. By then, anyone had heard about him, and the queue was along the Stratford High Road. Superb. Jimi Hendrix. And I'd never... Like it, most things, I wish I'd had a picture taken with him, but in those days there weren't the mobile phones, you know, and selfies. So people say, surely you took pictures, but you didn't like to intrude on these people because, well, it would have been disrespectful, really. But it would have been some photo, but the photos in my head, they're still there. OK, so after a while of doing those clubs and that sort of thing, I got a call from a fellow called Terry Bate at Radio Caroline. And a lot of people were leaving because the Marine Offences Act was taking part. And he said, how do you like to join the station? Well, it's a bit like a footballer being asked if he wanted to join Manchester United. Well, that's my team. Because I'd always wanted to work for Caroline. And despite the fact there was a threat of being put in jail and a huge fine, I said yes. So I joined him at June that year. And, you know, sometimes you meet people and you instantly hit it off, don't you? And they become friends and friends for life. Certainly that's true of this man. A great pleasure to welcome to the programme, Tatty Tom Edwards. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Roger. Live from Heckington. Congratulations on your 50 years on the wireless.
Indeed. And you've been doing it a couple of years longer, of course.
Well, we won't mention that.
Radio City before that. It must be about 52 for you, I would have thought.
I started on Radio City in 1965. And then joined you guys on Radio Caroline, I think it was February of 1967. But looking back on those days, Roger, as we both do, my friend, I love those three short years out in the North Sea playing records non-stop for the listening public, as you're doing this afternoon.
But you were always far too good looking. I'm an ugly devil. I always said it's a rude word there. So it's ideal for ugly people. But you always were a good looking fellow, which is why you went into television, of course.
You should see the portrait up in the attic. I'm not doing bad for 71.
No.
Yeah, thank goodness.
And you were the man, of course. And we did hit it off immediately, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Whatever you do, Roger, when we do this interview, and for your listeners, I must tell you, ladies and gentlemen, with good friends like Roger, we pick up on a conversation where we last left it, right? Mm. But whatever you do, Roger, please don't mention Birmingham.
that is
an in-joke, folks.
Well, no, I'll tell them about it, actually, because you're pretty outrageous some of the time, but particularly in those 80s days.
I think I was drinking in those days. I don't drink anymore now.
Oh, you were, and well done for that.
Yeah.
But Tom said, I'm in Birmingham. Shall we go out for a meal? Well, stupidly, I went to my favourite restaurant. It was actually the last time I went in it, because...
I don't remember anything.
You didn't. Tom was at his most outrageous and swanned into this place and acted like he owned the place. I hadn't had enough drink to actually not to be embarrassed. I was very embarrassed. I never went back to a restaurant after. But they tell me it was a good evening.
Yes, it was a good evening, so I'm told.
And you went to work in America, didn't you, as well?
Yes, I did. Sort of when I left the staff of the BBC, I joined Thames for many years as one of the InVision announcers, which I loved. Then I went to America, and I did a one-nighter for the first time at the local village hall here in Heckington, sort of like an evening with Tom Edwards. And I think you were mentioned in it. There's a DVD coming out of it all. And just to go back through all those years is very cathartic. So I think you're probably producing quite a lot of memories, not only for yourself, but for your listeners, Roger. I think you started off with Neil Christian today,
didn't
you? And that took me immediately back to those happy days out in the North Sea. Yeah, very happy days, fond memories.
And, of course, it was you that gave me my nickname.
It was, and I'll tell your listeners, is that you were so skinny, you were so thin. And Twiggy, that fabulous model who's still a very good-looking lady, she was like a matchstick. And I suddenly looked at you, Roger, I thought, that guy is so thin. So hence the name Roger Twiggy Day. And it stuck. I'm still called Mother and Tatty Tom Edwards, because I always wore a collar and tie on the radio on a ship out at sea.
I know.
I must have been mad.
I know. The rest of us didn't bother with that sort of nonsense, but you did.
I did, yeah.
And the thing was that you just mentioned it once. I remember this. And the Viking Saga came out that night. Because up until then, I was just known as Roger Day. Oh. And there were all these listeners on there, and they were all shouting out, where's Twiggy? And I thought, hang on a minute, if that's one mention on the radio, which you'd kindly done, you said we've got Twiggy Day coming on later on, I thought, if that's one mention on the radio, this is a gimmick I think I should latch on to.
Yes, absolutely, and it's stuck for half a century. I'm quite proud of that now you mention it.
Well, we all go through a stage where you think, oh, that's part of the past. I want to be known as a sensible broadcaster. I mean, that's
right.
A laugh or a start. I'm never going to be known as that. But heaven forbid... And I did drop it for a while, and I just became Roger Day. And then I'd be introduced to people, and you could suddenly scratch their head, and they said, you used to be Twiggy, didn't you? And I thought, oh, forget it. I might have, if he got it, flaunt it. So I went back. It's like Kid Jensen will always be Kid Jensen,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And also through social media, I've got to say to you, Roger, because we're both on Facebook, is that people out there in that big, wide world of the Internet, those people have fabulous memories. They tell me about incidents that I don't remember happening.
Oh, join the club. I mean, my listeners know more about me than I do.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. Exactly the same, yeah.
So, you know, without you, I wouldn't have become Twiggy. And I know we didn't work together very long because you left when the Mean Offences Act.
Yes, I did. I talked about this at the evening I did here in Heckington. It was a month ago on Saturday night. And I remember that day, it was high emotions that day, before the Marine Offences Bill actually clicked in at midnight. And I left the ship 12 hours, if you remember, before that Marine Offences Bill became law. Was it on the 14th or the 16th of August?
14th it was.
14th.
Yeah.
And I remember Johnny Walker asking me if I was coming back. And at the time I said yes, but in fact I didn't. I tapped on the BBC's door in Norwich and ended up doing the local TV magazine program there called Look East. And I don't regret that decision looking back. It was a fun time. Yeah. But you stayed out there, didn't you?
I did. I was a naughty boy.
Well, I was worried about being arrested or sent to prison.
Well, yes. But there you go. The Marine Offences Act. And I always said I never had an offence with the Marine. But
oh, right.
Go.
Okay. Well, right,
it's the old joke,
quickly,
isn't it?
But I think it's marvellous. 50 years. That is half a century.
Right? No. I didn't even think I'd live this long.
And you're getting over. You had a hip replacement, I believe.
Yeah, it set off the alarm at the airport. But apart from that, it's okay.
I hear you went through the airport at least 7 times. I don't know if it's dirty thing. So you could be strip searched.
You know me too well.
I do.
Tom, lovely talking to you, mate.
Lots of love to you and your family. A very happy anniversary to you on this very special day, which I think is actually tomorrow, isn't it?
It is. And you'll always be a friend.
Always.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Roger.
Bye.
Bye.
It's one of the first records I played when I joined the Me and Ego, Radio Caroline South, the sound of the nation. I had hoped to get Chip Hawkes on, but I think he's in Portugal at the moment. Had another run into him last week when I was down there, but there you go. BBC Radio Kent, it's me, Roger Day, with the 50th anniversary special. And that's the Tremolos, one of the first records I played. I knew, actually, Len, Chip Hawkes, what he used to be with Davy Sands and the Essex, who were a great band I used to do gigs with as well. Davy Sands, good friend of mine. In fact, he was my brother-in-law on stage, but he's sadly no longer with us. Died a couple of years ago in America.
I don't know if you know this, Roger, but BBC Radio Kent is actually the second radio station where we have worked together. There's no question, you absolutely are the godfather. You're a very warm, very genuine and great, fun person to be around. It's been an absolute privilege to appear on the same lineup as yourself. All I can say on your 50th anniversary is here's the next 50. I'm looking forward to it.
It is official. Roger has now worked on more radio stations than the Beach Boys have recorded songs. He is the ultimate professional. He is the broadcaster's broadcaster. 50 years, 50 years. After all this time, can I just say, Roger, give it a rest.
Friends like that, who needs enemies?
We shall overcome.
We had to play it every hour on Caroline leading up to the 14th of August. We were quite sick of it by the time it got there, but there you go. Now, it's not only my 50th radio anniversary tomorrow, it's a gentleman who also went to the Hilton Hotel on that day in April, it would have been, I guess, early April. Perhaps it was late. No, it would have been early April. And met these guys over from America who were setting up this new radio station. And he ain't done bad either. Good afternoon, Sir Johnny Walker.
Steady on now. Hello, Roger, how are you?
I'm very good, and congratulations to you as well.
Thank you very much, yeah.
We didn't actually, but, you know, we thought it was going to last about 5 minutes, didn't we?
Well, you know what? It's funny because a lot of people over the years, they ask you, since that movie came out, The Boat That Rocked, was it really like that?
Mm.
And I say, no, Not like that at all.
No.
Certainly we didn't. We didn't have a girls on the boat. We didn't have our own bar. It was all very different.
I know.
But the one thing, one of the scenes in that film that really stuck out for me was the DJ played by Philip Seymour Hoffman was sitting on a deck chair at the front of the deck, and he was just gazing out to sea very wistfully. And this other character in the film came up and said, "Well, what's the matter? What's the matter?" You know, he could tell something wasn't quite right. And he said, "I've just realized we're having the greatest days of our life, and they're not going to last forever."
I know. I actually cried when they said that in that movie because I thought that's true. You know what I mean? Because people often say, you know, what was it like out there? I said, it was the best time of my life. I'd always wanted to do it like you did. And I couldn't believe that we were having such fun doing it. But Caroline was the magician, wasn't it? I mean, I know you'd always worked for him, and me too as well. I know we both tried Luxembourg and failed miserably. But there was a special warmth about that station, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, Radio London was, I think, it was kind of difficult because when Radio London started after Caroline, it had a 50,000-watt transmitter, and Caroline's was nothing like as powerful. So it was a bit David and Goliath, and they were a very professional organization. They had much better jingles than we did. Caroline was a bit amateurish, but eventually we got our 50,000-watt transmitter, and we could... We could battle with Radio London, you know, on a more even thing. But I always thought Caroline had the real soul to it. And the people who worked on Caroline really believed in the whole thing, whereas the people who worked on Radio London, it was just a radio job.
I think they were big business. We were in it for the crack, if you like. Weren't we? I mean, we did some stupid things, but we just tried anything. We used to sit around the mess table saying, oh, let's give that a try. And if it didn't work, you just didn't do it again, didn't you?
There was a lovely sense of camaraderie, though, between the pirate stations. I mean, when Radio England came along, there's three all anchored within about a mile of each other. And Ronan used to say when journalists came out to the Caroline ship, and it'd be very rough, as it often was, and then suddenly the seas would calm as we got near Caroline, and the journalist said, wow, that's amazing. It suddenly got calm. And Ronan, who always called the Radio Caroline the lady.
Yep.
He said, that's the calming effect of the lady.
Mm.
Not mentioning we're actually anchored over what do you call them, a sea bank or something?
That's right, yeah.
So it made the waters calmer anyway.
I know.
But having these three ships in a row, they're all sort of in the ideal position for calmer seas and also to direct the signal up the Thames estuary. I remember they used to have Guinness over on Radio London.
Yeah.
We didn't. We only had Heineken.
That's right.
So we used to lower the lifeboat and load up a few crates of Heineken in the lifeboat and chug over to Radio London and do a trade. So exchange a crate of Heineken for a crate of Guinness. Because Mike O'Hearn, bless him, who's sadly no longer with us, he was a big Guinness drinker. So there's a lot of friendship going on between the radio station. For on air, of course, we were big rivals.
Mm, oh, indeed. But, of course, we started out together. In fact, you were the second one they hired and used to be Peter D. And as a result, you enlisted those jingles and those wonderful Johnny Walker. I often think, if I'd have been the second, would I have been Johnny Walker and you'd have stuck being Peter D, you know? We'll never know.
Yeah, then we're worried there'd be confusion between the Roger Day and the Peter D.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I tell the story that they brought all these jingles over from America. And it was quite the done thing in America. They'd promote a DJ, and then if they ever fell out with him, they'd fire him and then just find somebody else who would adopt that name.
Mm.
And listeners would think, the voice sounds a bit different today. You know, they get used to it in a couple of days. So I very nearly was Boom Boom Brannigan.
That was another name on the station, for those who don't know.
It was, yeah.
That wouldn't have been the same, I don't think. No,
do you know what worries me about this show? I mean, listening to the show, it's great to hear Jim Cregan, and Ron Aquin's going to come on later on. And I just slight worry that we're just like old geezers sitting in the pub reminiscing about the old days.
We are!
Boring everybody else to tears.
And, of course, you know, you joined Caroline before I did, because I always remember the note came out saying Radio England's closing down, and you, quick as a flash, I thought, where's Johnny? And you'd gone already. You were off on the ship.
Well, it wasn't a note. I was, it was a newspaper article, and I was reading the newspaper, and right on the back page, a tiny little, just like four-line news item, said one of the radio stations on board, the laissez-faire, Olga Patricia, I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah.
had both names for a while, but one of those radio stations would switch to a Dutch format, and I thought, well, it's not going to be Britain Radio, the middle-of-the-road station. There's no competition for that. It's going to be Radio England. And I remember I ran down, I found the tender captain, I said, how long are you going to be moored up before you go? He said, another 10 minutes. Ran downstairs, packed all my stuff in my bag, ran back up with my coat on and my bag, and you said to me, where are you going? It's not your time for leave. I said, I've just got to go off on shore and do something. Because I knew the moment that, you know, word got out, or that they fired all the DJs and hired Dutch ones, there'd be a big queue around at Radio Caroline. I wanted to be at the head of the queue.
Yeah, got there ahead of me, you swine. But I made it in the end.
You made it in the end, which was great, and it was very good of you to join us when it was a tough, very tough time out there. We had one of the worst winters we'd ever had. We got, instead of a daily tender, bringing us newspapers, letters, fresh supplies of everything. It was like once a week, maybe once a fortnight, so it got very hard out there.
I often wonder, people say, if it hadn't been towed off in March, would you have stayed out there? And I really don't know. I think I possibly would, because I just loved every minute of it. You know, I suppose eventually things would have changed, but I can't see me actually saying I want to leave this place.
Well, the big thing about the decision to stay with Caroline after they brought in the law was the fact that you couldn't enter the UK. We had to go to Holland. So instead of like an hour and a half on the tender, it was 24 hours. And very often the North Sea, the weather would be really bad. It was a flat-bottom boat, did about four knots. And when you're sick non-stop for 24 hours with no respite, it's pretty awful. Yeah. By the time you get to the other end, you thought, I'm never going to go through that again. And the other thing, of course, was we all lived in this big house in Amsterdam.
Yes.
And there were all these strict rules that you couldn't bring girls in. I remember a girlfriend, a lovely girlfriend I had called Sunny, came over from London.
I remember.
For the weekend, yeah, and I kind of sneaked her in. and I think we just stayed there for about 3 days. Never came out.
You were 2 weeks on a boat, you're ready for that.
Yeah, just about.
Well,
so that's a big thing, Rog. It's been... they're wonderful days to look back on. They were amazing days. So trying to describe them to people how it was, and days when the moonlight would shine on the North Sea, days when the sun had shined during the day and visitors used to come out. It was all very magical. But we're very lucky to have had a career at other radio stations after that.
Yeah, and thanks to Ron O'Quinn for spotting that we could do it.
Yeah.
So I would thank you for that.
He took a gamble there.
Indeed, and he must have been right, because we're both still doing it. And I know you enjoy it as much as I do, and let's hope we can evade the talent police for a few more years and take that. It's always been a pleasure, you know, working with you, John, and I know you've had your health problems, as have I, but we seem to have beaten it now. So that's,
well, we're very lucky. It's a bit of a lottery, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've been very fortunate. So more power to you, Rog, and here's to another. I think 50 is a little bit ambitious.
Yeah.
But here's to many more.
I'll settle for another 10.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
All right. Cheers, Rog.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Johnny Walker's theme tune, of course. I think it's better than my theme tune, actually. It's a good one. Dwayne Eddy and Warm and that is because they're young, of course. Here's one always associated with Johnny. Remember that great late-night show he used to do on the ship? It was one of the best radio programs ever. What, he used to say goodnight to a special lady who'd written into him.
Let me wrap you in my warm and tender love. Yeah. Let me wrap you in my...
Percy Sledge, Warm and Tender Love. Of course, being boys on the ship, we, 2 weeks out then, and there wasn't much TV, because it used to be off during the day, just a bit of it in the evening. Not a lot to do. So we basically thought of japes to do on people, and Johnny will probably remember that when he used to do this, he used to lock the door, mostly, so that nobody would interrupt him doing it. And so what we did, we went in earlier on, and we had a vacuum cleaner in there, and it not only it sucked, it blew as well, like some of them did, those old cone-shaped ones. And we filled it up with talcum powder, put it up right near the microphone, pretty hidden, and the plug was outside the studio. We'd run it under the carpet and everything, and Johnny went in there, locked the studio as usual. And when he came to the special good night to this lady, he pung this this thing powder. He just coughed and spluttered. Next thing we knew, the record went on, and he opened the door, and he looked like something from a Keystone Cops, covered in white powder. I don't think he ever forgave us for that. He always checked to see if there's a vacuum cleaner under after that, but there you go. Caroline. Of course, theme tune of Radio Caroline was The Fortunes. There always is a chill down the spine, and whenever I hear it, I'm back in the studio on those wonderful days. Sad to report that Ronan, the man behind the radio station and the dream, he's not very well at the moment. He's got quite a severe form of dementia, and he wouldn't wish that on anybody, particularly him, because Ronan has always been my hero. So sending lots of love and peace to see, because he's well into love, and he's the most anti-war people that you've ever met, and he always believed that peace will come eventually, and we've all got to agree with that. So he lived the dream. Without him, where would we have been? Well, I'd have been stuck being an accountant, basically, but there you go. As would many of the groups that I talked to. It's Jim McCartney here of the Yardbirds. Hello, Jim. How you doing?
Hello, Roger. Yeah, I was studying to be an actuary, actually, before I went into music.
Yeah, you were, weren't you?
Yeah.
You used to travel back from London to do the gigs, didn't you?
Yeah, I would have probably made a lot more money. Apparently, it's the biggest paying job, an actuary.
Well, yeah, you'd have been retired to the Bahamas by now, I would have thought.
So I used to get the train out to Ricky Ticket Windsor or High Wycombe or somewhere to play a gig in the evening after working in the stockbrokers.
At what stage did you actually give up the day job?
I think I was about 21, and we'd been going for a few months, and it was a bit hectic, and I was getting really worn down. And I had to convince my mum, it was just me and my mum, my dad had died, and it was just me and my mum, I had to convince her that it was going to be a success.
Wasn't Giorgio Gomeski something to do with you in the early days as well?
Yeah, he was our manager.
Oh, right, because he was involved with Ronan, with Caroline, I think.
Yeah, he used to run the Crawdaddy Club when the Stones played, and when the Stones left, we wanted a gig there, so we went to see him, and... So he booked us to play Take Over from them.
And, of course, you're back gigging with the boys, aren't you? You know, the Yardbirds, anyway.
Yes, yeah, we do play occasional tour. And, yeah, we're actually doing a tour in July in the States.
And they've just reissued Cherry Red Records, have issued Roger the Engineer, haven't they?
Yes, it's actually, it's really good. I think it came out last weekend. It's a double, it's actually Repertoire, the German record,
that's right, yeah.
Record label, yeah. And it's a double with mono and stereo, and it's really nicely done.
I mentioned earlier on to Frank of the Searchers that it must have been better for you boys driving around in vans in those days, because there wasn't any music on the radio, and then Caroline came along and you had things to listen to while you drove to gigs.
Oh, that's right, yeah. We actually used to listen to... there was a rock and roll show it used to be on. I don't know what time it was on, but it was on when we were going to a gig one night. And we sort of pinched the idea and made Over Under Sideways Down.
Really?
For one of the songs we heard.
How very strange. That's a record I've got queued up to play.
Oh, really? There you go. Well, they got the story before the record.
Well, absolutely. Any gigs coming up soon that we should know about?
Not now until we recently played in Chelsea, you know, under the arch by Stamford Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
We played there just a couple of weeks ago. That was great.
Marvellous.
And so now, we're not playing until July.
Well, check the website out for that. Anyway, thanks for sharing my 50th anniversary.
Roger, congratulations.
Thank you. And may we both keep going.
Yes, yes.
See you soon.
Good idea.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. Sounds like a tender ride to the ship, that does. Over, under, sideways, down. Yeah, Johnny mentioned bidding sea. I was very lucky, actually. I never suffered from seasickness. And because I always wanted to be fatter. I didn't want to be twiggy. Nobody's ever satisfied of that. And when they're all eating around the mess table, I used to say, is that fattening the people? You know, bear in mind the rest were all seasick. And they said, oh, no, you can have it. I never did get fat. I know people hate me for that. Why do you like that? Hello. Roger Day for the BBC Radio Kent. And my 50th anniversary of being on the radio. Well, it is tomorrow, day early. Like Christmas Eve, isn't it? Oh, I've mentioned the C word, it's not even December. Outrageous. One thing I'm kind of proud of, and it's always been my policy, not to play edited versions of songs, and I think I've built a bit of a reputation by playing the full fat version, which is that, from Days of Future Past, from the Moodies, of course, the one that changed their career because they stopped being sort of like a pop band, if you like, though never that, to being sort of a concept album band, and the wonderful full fat version of Nights in White Satin. And that always reminds me of my days on Caroline, because people might not realise it, but after the Marine Offences Act was passed and we had to go and be serviced from abroad, most of the advertisers dropped out, and the only way we made money was people paid to have the records played. Most of them we would have played anyway, but there's their way of supporting us. I mean, yeah, there was some rubbish stuff on there as well, as you can imagine. People thought, well, if we can pay, they've got to play it, and there was some very dodgy stuff on Major Minor Records. But occasionally there was a good one, and the Moody Blues management presumably paid £100 for 5 plays a day of the Nights in White Satin album, Days of Future Past. So we always used to look forward to that one. Plus, in fact, it gave me a chance to go to the You Know Where while it was on, because it was quite long. Right, speaking of those days, I think there's a link with the Blockheads and one of my sure shots on Caroline. They were called Skip Bifferty, who became the Blockheads. From the Blockheads, here is Johnny Turnbull.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm very good, and you?
Yeah, I'm fine. That's true, isn't it? The Skip Bifferty were precursors to the Blockheads, I believe.
That's true. There was me and Mickey Gallagher.
Enjoy the Blockheads, and hit me with your rhythm stick. Provided it doesn't hurt, I don't mind.
Congratulations to you, Roger. I can remember my grandparents telling me that they used to listen to you when they were children, and that tradition was passed on to my parents. I'm now listening to you, and I'm going to pass it on to my son, Freddie, as well. Well done, Roger. Keep it going. Another 50, why not?
Roger, we've been working together on and off since 1989. We've been fired from at least 2 radio stations together. All I can say is, well done, 50 years, and here's to the next 50 for the unsinkable Roger Day.
Yeah, somebody said earlier on, must be the world record for getting canned by radio stations. Me and management, get along with listeners, OK? It's me and management, there you go. So, Caroline, I know I wouldn't get very far, I'm only there now. Back in March the 3rd, 1968, I was getting up to do a breakfast show, and a tug came alongside, which is nothing unusual. And they said, oh, we're towing you to Tokyo. And I just thought, yeah, it's just the Dutch taking the mickey out of us. Sadly, it was nearer the truth. They cut the anchor, ordered us out of the studio, and towed us to Holland at the end of the happiest days of my life. But, hey, at least I did it and fulfilled the dream. So there you are. Anyway, a couple of months out of work, and Radio Luxembourg, the great 208, gave me a call. Geoffrey Everett, I remember him. It was very formal. So I emigrated again to the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg, as I called it. And this reminds me of those eras. That era. It's the loving things you do And there it is. The Marmalade, former Dean Ford of the Gaylords, who were regulars at the Dreamland Ballroom, where I was during my time as the resident disc jockey down there. They used to do Sunday nights at the Rendezvous Club, and I got paid £30 for that. They got slightly more than that when they had a few hits, so there you go. The sounds of success for them. OK, thank you very much. Catch up on a few emails now, because I haven't much chance to do that. Alan Cackett, who used to do the Wednesday country bit occasionally for me there, celebrates his 60th anniversary this year in September, when he published his first two magazines, which were Country Record Exchange, a monthly publication, and Quarterly Record Collector. He says, I'm holding a special celebration gig at the Exchange Studio Maidstone, the old Corn Exchange, where I used to do gigs, on Friday the 17th and 30th. I'd be honoured if you're able to come along and join us. Well, consider it done, my friend. Consider it done. Dave Johnson, who's listening from the US of A, I've learned so much about music listening to your programmes. Really? Since I returned home from a 2-year secondment in Reigate. Thank you. Keep the music coming. I'll raise a pint of real ale to you later. It's breakfast time over here. Real ale at breakfast? Disgraceful. And Steve Schmidt in Northampton. Glad you're still spinning the disc for 50 years, enjoying the special programme. Who would have thought it would be on there? Looking forward to next Saturday. Yeah, look forward to see you there as well. And also to Barbara Manakaji, who's coming to my little thing on Saturday, says, loving this trip down memory lane. Bet you never thought your career would last this long. Neither did many others, my dear. And you've been one of the many... I've worked with some wonderful people over the years, actually. I've worked with a few horrible people as well, but mostly they've been very good as well. So look forward to that. And a card here from Lady Di. Thank you very much. Yeah. All you need is music. I quite agree. And to Sheila and William from Rochester as well. roger.bbc.co.uk. And also, it is the phone. It's 03459811111. Hopefully soon we're going to be talking to Ron O'Quinn, but first... I'm going to play a record that always reminds me of him. Righteous Brothers, my soul and my inspiration. There's been many of those over the years. I'm about to talk to one of them very shortly. It's been a joyous ride. I've had some bad times, but not many. And mostly they've been the good times, I say, working with some wonderful people. Wouldn't have been possible, of course, with the great family that surround me. My mum and dad, who... my dad being Welsh, obviously wanted to be a doctor, but that didn't quite happen. Or an accountant. That certainly didn't happen. When I decided I wanted to do this, they stuck by me, as have my lovely family over the years. And you can't do anything if they don't support you. But it all wouldn't have been possible without one man who I met at the Hilton Hotel in London. First American I'd ever met, actually. And offered me a job on Swingin' Radio England. And it's a great pleasure for the man that started, you can blame him, Ron O'Quinn. Hello there.
Hello, Roger. How are you?
The boss jock of all boss jocks.
Well, not quite as bossy anymore, maybe.
I know you're in Ecuador, my friend. Are you safe now because you've had earthquakes there, haven't you?
Yes, the earthquake was about 110 miles away from us, the epicenter. And here at my house... it just rocked and rolled, no damage and no injuries. However, there have been 660 odd people that they've recovered dead. So it's been a terrible tragedy.
Yeah. Now, as you know, it's my
congratulations, 50th. By the way. Let me go ahead and say that. 50 years. My gosh.
I know. And
I must have been a mere baby.
We all were.
In swaddling clothes, you know, at the time.
We hadn't even started shaving, I don't think. I had Johnny on early on. Of course, you were the one that gave us a break and, hey, we're still going. Why did you choose us? Because we'd not done radio before, and you hired us out of nowhere.
That was one of the main reasons that I chose. No, seriously, I looked at personalities. I didn't want anyone who had already been on the air from one of the other pirate stations, even though the vast majority of the other existing pirates came to me looking for a job. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them. because they had already developed what I considered to be bad habits. And so I wanted you guys, but I had a lot of people applying, and I picked you and Johnny, and those were good picks. I picked a couple of more that were not, but hey, 2 out of 4 ain't bad, you know.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I think it was my dad took the call from me. I'd made it on a Saturday, and I think on Sunday you phoned and said, tell him he's got the job. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow. And I remember giving a notice in to the boss of the accountants I was at. And he said, what are you going to do? Join another accountant? I said, no, it was a Radio 4 man, I think. Home services it was at the time. I said, no, you might have heard of those pirate radio stations. And he hadn't. I said, well, I'm joining one of those. It was like I'd stabbed him in the heart. Keith Burville was his name, remember? And he said, oh, and I remember what he said next. He said, what about your pension? I mean, I was 21. I mean, I didn't think I was going to live long enough to get a pension anyway. But I don't know. I shall always be grateful to you, Ron, because you changed my life, man.
Well, I hope it was for the better.
It was.
You were a good guy, Roger. I always enjoyed being around you. Always enjoyed being around Johnny. In fact, I enjoyed being around all the British people. Everybody treated me extremely well, and you guys fit the mold. It's such a pleasure and a feather in my cap to look back and say, hey, I helped these guys get their start. I helped a lot of other people in the States in later years, but you guys are my crowning achievement. Yeah. So I'm very proud of you.
Well, I always said that people say, you know, who was responsible for it? I say, Ron, and as you mentioned there, I still stick to the principles that you taught me back in those days. You know, never say good evening, everyone. Speak to one person. And you still hear people making that mistake.
I still pay a lot of attention to myself, not all the time, but on my radio career, and it's been good for me too. It's like yours; it's been a good ride.
Yeah, and I know you were in. I always remember when you left the ship. You said, "Why don't you come to America with me?" And I often think, what would have happened if I'd have gone with Big Ron over to America? I would have, maybe had a different career path. But hey ho, you can't change history, can you?
You can't. You can't go back. You just cannot, you know, and you took the right moves, and I'm very pleased for both you and Johnny.
Well, it's been lovely catching up with you. When are you coming to England to see us again?
I'm coming over there and try to find something some old Romans lost. I love my metal detecting, as you well know. I'm coming again in September.
Good. Well, you'll find a few old relics over here as well, so we'll catch up.
If you ever get a chance, Roger, I'd love to have you come to Ecuador.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Ron, and as I say, I'm forever grateful, because without you, it wouldn't have been possible. So thank you very much for that.
Cheers to you and your family.
Okay, cheers, Ron. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you go. That's Ron O'Quinn. Ron on the radio. I played Righteous Brothers and Soul and Inspiration because he used to really belt that out and sing along to it on the station. Fantastic. Ron O'Quinn, the man who gave me the gig back in 1966. So I should be forever grateful to that man. Probably so, if you've got any hate mail, he's the one to blame. Okay, less than 20 minutes to catch up on the career. That's it then. So Luxembourg joined that. I didn't have a very good time there, actually, because from the freedom of Caroline, where you could say what you liked and do what you liked, it was a bit like the old BBC with commercials, really, very strict. You had to go in the afternoon, prepare the programme and that sort of thing. Didn't operate our own equipment. That doesn't sound a big thing, but you need to be in control of the broadcasting ballet, as they call it in America, to sort of know what's happening and mixing that. It's all part of it as well. I know some disc jockeys can't operate the controls. I couldn't do it like that. Anyway, we had engineers, some of whom didn't even speak English. So you can imagine how fraught that was. You want to do this, that, and in the end you sort of blow it. So you're talking not because you had anything to say, because they'd mucked up, basically. One fell asleep on me one night, and it was in a different room. I had to walk round and wake him up and said, I think you better play another record, mate. Sort of thing. So then out of the blue, I got a phone call from the Arthur Howes agency. I knew I loved the Beach Boys and said, how'd you like to compare the next Beach Boys tour in 1968? So I did. And I'm on the live in London with the Beach Boys. And so I'm on that. I'm very proud of that. And it was lovely to introduce him on the Palladium even. Brian Wilson doing the Palladium soon and that sort of thing. So to do that, they wouldn't give me the time off at Luxembourg. So I said, well, stuff you, I'm off. Probably a stupid thing to do, but at least I got a comp here, the Beach Boys thing. Then I went to the United Biscuit Network, recorded some programs with Caroline when they came back, but that didn't last long. And also recorded some stuff for Radio Andorra, who were, I never revealed that before. They were going to set up a sort of rival to Radio Luxembourg, but whether money people pulled out and the tapes are somewhere, but they never got broadcast, because they're worth a fortune now. Then I was wonderfully Capital Radio started and turned me down for a job. And I was very annoyed about that. I remember sitting in the office when they told me they weren't going to use me. I thought, if it hadn't been for me and my mates, you wouldn't be sitting in this place with this radio station. I was very angry about it. When I heard Capital in the early days, I wasn't too nonplussed because it changed a bit, not the station it became. I was just about to emigrate, and I got a call from somebody saying, you should try Piccadilly Radio in Manchester. It's run by the fellow who used to run Radio London called Philip T. Birch. So I went up there and became a naturalised Northerner. And being a Man United fan, it was an obvious place to want to go. So we get lots of guests again up there, Cliff Richard often coming in. I did a marathon broadcast, 76 hours on the air, which was a record at the time. We bent the rules, basically. No change there. Played stuff like Lady Marmalade, which we probably shouldn't have done, because at the time it was a bit risque. But one of the favourite interviews I ever had of all time, I was doing the late night show there, and I played Sorry Suzanne from the Hollies. The phone, used to have people answer the phones for you. Pat Broom it was. And she came in and said, there's a fellow called Graham Nash on the phone. He says, why don't you play a Hollies record that he's on? Because he'd left the Hollies, and Sorry Suzanne was the first one with his replacement, Terry Sylvester. And I was used to that time of night, drunks phoning up saying there were people they weren't. And I said, well, yeah, that's Graham Nash. Tell him I'm the Archbishop of Canterbury. And so she went back and told him that. He's very insistent, he's Graham Nash. I said, why did he call him? So I phoned him, he was staying at the Midland Hotel, and it's the unmistakable voice of Graham Nash. And there he was. I said, well, yeah, great, I'll play a Hollies track you're on. Only on one condition, you come and do an interview. He never did interviews. He refused to do interviews. Radio 1 had been trying to get him for ages. Not only did he come in the interview, and he used to have a piano for live music in the studio. It was funny days. And I've got a tape of it somewhere, but I couldn't find it in time for this. He gets up, he says, before flying over, I wrote a new song for our new album for Crosby, Stills and Nash. And he says, would you like to hear it? And you can hear him walking across the studio. He started playing this. There it is, played first on my programme at Piccadilly in Manchester. And just the song Before I Go, he actually not only did one, he came back, he had such fun, he came back and played his favourite music like the Everly Brothers and that sort of thing. And I remember I got a call from one of the record pluggers who said, there's a buzz going around London that you had Graham Nash on the programme, but that can't be true, he never does interviews. I said, yeah. He says, I just had a call from Radio 1, they're very annoyed, because they've been trying to get him an interview for years. I said, well, tough luck, mate. And I said, you want the worst news to tell him? He's just gone. I said, he's coming back next week to do another programme. He said, oh, I don't think I'd better tell him that, actually. He'll never play my records again. And strange enough, yeah, I know Graham, but his sister is a real good friend of mine. And there's a funny story attached to that as well. Jenny was in hospital and had been at prenups to, the birth. With this girl she was talking to. We didn't know it's Graham Nash's sister, because they live in the same area as us. I'm not boring with this, I hope. No, it's not boring, no. Went to hospital, Michelle was born, went back to the people, the wives, the mothers used to meet. She'd had a baby as well. And we're talking about, you know, what's your baby called? I said, oh, it's Michelle. She said, oh, that's strange, that Roger Day on the radio, his wife's given birth to Michelle. I said, well, I'm Roger's wife. She said, oh, I'm Graham Nash's sister. And we've been friends ever since as well. She gets me tickets for his concerts, which he's doing one in London very soon as well. So, lovely lady. Well, so's Graham as well. There you go. So, That was it for my time up north, and I had a great time because I used to get free tickets to see United as well. I know a lot of non-United fans are saying you wouldn't pay for them. This is always my theme tune.
Music was my first love, and it will be my last.
Wonderful. John Miles. Definitely my attitude to radio has always been like that. Music before the disc jockey. It's more important. If only everyone agreed with that. Almost forgot to mention Radio North Sea, which I helped start in 1970. It caused a few ruffles in politicians' feathers. Always great fun to do that. Hence no knighthood. And also didn't get a mention of BRMB, Radio West in Bristol. Yes, there was a real radio station, wasn't just a TV programme. Invicta Radio, rest in peace. County Sound in Guildford, Pirate FM in Cornwall, had to work for them with that day. And a few others as well. And the BBC in the South, where I used to do the evening show, and still do a Sunday night show, of course. This will be continued on other Sundays, because I couldn't get it all in tonight. Anyway, thanks for being with me, and I hope you enjoyed the nostalgia, the guests. Thanks to all them. And I'd like to say, if you enjoyed it, a Roger Day. And if you didn't, it was Roger Thomas. Whoever he was.